B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love.
You got to give Billy Lanny fair credit on this. The second the Patriots came out with the give everything you got hashtag. Everything that we got. What's the hashtag? The movie, I Love You, Man. It's the guy, the Elmo guy, spotting him in the gym. Come on, give it a spot. Phil, you lift weights. Give him a spot. Good movie. Good underrated movie. I Love You, Man.
Everything we got.
Hardy. Good movie.
I saw it for the first time over break. And,
I can't believe you just funny. Saw that.
Yeah.
Bro Montana.
Everything.
Lou Ferrigno's in it. That's good. Jason Segel. Awesome in it. It's one of my favorite actors.
Phil Perry is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Phil. Sony Michel in the running game.
Will he make it
for the Patriots?
Four quarters.
Tony Maz is predicting injury.
Tony Maz is praying for injury.
This has really gone up Zoe's rear this
their,
week.
Their freaking breakdown of this game this week is just...
I don't think he was praying for it.
No,
he was predicting
it. I think he gets injured. I think he gets hurt in this
that's
game.
Next level stuff.
60 minutes, Mike.
It's next level Nostradamus stuff.
Odd, game. An oddly specific prediction.
It is an oddly specific prediction, but it's based on the premise of... is he a tough runner? Does he get those tough yards? Can he withstand NFL playoff football? These are answers that we do not have about Sony Michel at this time. So if you're predicting what he is on Sunday, what would you predict? What would we see from Sony Michel?
It's all going to depend on what the Chargers run out there. So if they want to run out there the dime or quarters package where you have that many defensive backs on the field, right? Dime, you've got six. Quarters, you've got seven. Then it should be a huge Sony Michel game. I wouldn't expect them to do that because when we see Sony Michel do a lot of his damage, how is he doing it? He's following James Devlin into whatever gap they've chosen for that specific play. If you have James Devlin and Sony Michel on the field and you're the Chargers and you run seven defensive backs on the field, it's just, I don't think it's wise. I mean, maybe they'll try to do it because they're so thin at linebacker at this point and they feel so good about their athleticism up front that they say to themselves, we can just shoot every gap. Remember, I mean, we keep referencing these past Super Bowls.
Okay, but don't let
Seattle
that kid
Super Bowl, hit Atlanta Super Bowl.
Okay, remember, if he hits you on a cutback, though, and he's one of those slash cutback runners,
yeah,
he could go for 30.
Sure.
Like, what about in the red
zone?
But
remember, can I just bring this up very quickly? Remember how the Falcons snuffed out the Patriots' run in that game, early in that game? It was all speed.
Blunt was dead.
Blunt was so bad. He fumbled.
So much speed on the field. They didn't overpower the Patriots. The Patriots tried to overpower them.
Right.
And they couldn't.
Right.
So you could end up with a situation like that where you're going up against so much
good
speed
point
up front that it's hard to run against.
And here's your problem with Michel when he goes in the game. How many times you throw him the ball? I mean, it's almost
the last time they did.
It's almost half a dozen targets.
It's almost impressive
year
that you've almost like that gotten to a 4 yard per carry average with him because you're so one dimensional when he's in the game.
So like, I think
he's in the game. Guess what? They're running it. We were all over this since week two in Jacksonville. The numbers were staggering.
His last target was
Vikings, I think.
He's got one listed for the Minnesota game. One target there.
Brady tried to break his legs in Jacksonville.
Two against the Jets in November. One target against the Bears. One against Kansas City. One against Indianapolis. And if you go back to the first month of the season, he had two against Jacksonville and three in Detroit.
That has been the really disappointing part about his rookie season. As productive as he's been as a true back, you drafted him, I think, assuming he'd be able to give you something in the passing game, and he really has not.
What's crazy, like Georgia isn't predominantly a running team. Like they throw the ball. They threw the ball.
They throw it, but they're pro style, right? So they've got, they're under center, they use play action, they do things like that.
Yeah,
and you thought that he could... that he could give you a little bit of something as
screen
a receiver.
Pass.
But I think, listen, this is why you know, James White is what he is, right? He's a sub back, but he's doubled the number of carries that he's had ever in his career prior to this season. He's got 90 carries this year. He's been used more late in the season as a running back. They even gave him a couple. They gave him a third and short carry and then a fourth and short carry in the last game of the season when it already looked like it was a runaway. And I remember seeing it live and saying to myself, what the hell are they doing? Because they got stopped. It was a turnover on downs. Why would you do this? I think something like that is to just skew trends. I think that is to skew defensive coordinators' Excel spreadsheets. That is, when James White is on the field, we have to at least respect ever so slightly the fact that he might actually take a handoff. And so we might have to put an extra linebacker out there. And if that happens, that's when you win if you're the Patriots, because then you can split him out wide, and then you can run him in the pass.
You could also say that those spreadsheets that you're talking about say, when Sony Michel is in the game, Sony Michel is in the game to run.
They do.
Well, then you could throw to him. It's not like he's incapable of catching the football.
He hasn't shown that he is, though, consistently.
And they haven't thrown him the ball. 7 catches on 11 targets.
So I don't think now is the time to start doing that. I think you build your way towards unpredictability.
If you want a wrinkle in there.
Well, it is very unpredictable to throw to Sony Michel. I'll give you that. But some of the things they've done late in the season, and again, part of this is because they lost Josh Gordon. Part of it is they got Rex Burkhead back. But they're running more. They were running more out of 11 personnel, which is usually a passing formation, most popular popular personnel grouping in the league. Three receivers. They were running more out of three receiver sets. They were passing more out of two back sets. I think in some respects, they were gearing towards trying to be a little bit more unpredictable in the postseason. Again, part of that was just personnel based. But part of it, I think, is that when you get to games like this, you at least create some level of doubt in the defense's head.
Phil Perry has informed me that the Chargers have not yet made their roster move on adding the kicker.
That was as of about an hour ago. I don't know if anything's happened since then. But it doesn't mean that it won't happen. But Chargers GM spoke yesterday and said, we're not making any moves today. So it could still happen late. They could just be trying to see who's healthy,
see who gets hurt,
who loses the roster spot, who do we sub out, all that stuff. It could happen Saturday, probably, right?
Pro Football Talk says that Tremaine Pope has been waived from the 53-man roster.
Okay, so it has happened.
If they were smart, I'd take him and send him east with a assistant to the assistant special teams coach, find a high school field, and you get on the phone, and I want you to wait until it's about 20 degrees out and have him do kickoffs. And you call me, meaning me, Anthony Lynn, on the phone, and you tell me if he's getting it to the goal line or not. And that's going to determine whether or not we sign him.
I heard you guys.
I mean, you can kick all you want.
I don't know, Zoe, if you were killing the move. I know Beetle was kind of killing the move. I don't think it's that dumb. This guy, Badgley, has been so bad. He's the worst in the league in terms of creating touchbacks.
I just think
so. Do you
want to
give Cordarrelle Patterson?
Oh, it's Patterson now. We need to prepare for Patterson.
I mean, he's good though, isn't he? I don't think it's terrible planning on their part.
Look at what the Eagles did last week. That return by the Bears, I thought I killed the Eagles almost at the end of the game. Should have killed him.
And even if this guy Rose can't get it into the end zone, he should give you more than Badgley would. So if it's cold, right, everybody's saying, well, it's cold out, they're not going to be able to get it in the end zone anyway. Well, if Rose can't get it in there, where do you think Badgley would be kicking that thing to? All of a sudden, the Patriots are catching it at the 10, and then they're getting it at the 35 every time. I mean, that's not going to work for them. So I don't hate the move. We'll see. The guy could kick it out of bounds on his first kick. I mean, he isn't, right? I mean, like, that could happen. Who knows? But
John Casey. Get to a big moment.
There you go.
The wind boot it out of bounds on a kickoff.
Little dummy. Wind, that ball's falling
big
halfway
dumb,
down. And
big dumb kickers. Sucker. Big dummy kickers.
Stupid.
That's what they are. My question would be, why did you wait all year if this was your problem all year long? This is the game you decided to do it for?
I think weather honestly probably has something to do, it,
oh,
do with
boy.
It. I think the fact that Badgley's been so bad at touchbacks, he plays in L.A. How do you only have – he has like 6 touchbacks on the year.
I don't know.
It's incredible
Maybe
to me.
Maybe he's just not that good because kickers are generally not that good. That's what it comes down to. Pretty much kickers in the NFL, not that good.
I mean, he's been pretty good this year.
You worried about Steven Gostkowski on Sunday?
I'm worried.
Hasn't been great in these spots the last few years.
I don't know if I'd be more worried than I would be with any other kicker.
Now, that's true. Now, I'm not saying he's worse than anybody else.
But has he missed a field goal in his last 4 playoff games?
He's
missed a kick his last 4 games?
Yes.
So.
Do you think that's coincidence? I don't.
I think it's a very mental game. Yep. I think you're right.
It's a mental game for these kickers.
It's a very mental game. You just try to repeat that mechanical motion over and over and over again. The more that gets inside that head, the harder it is to repeat that.
Quite the news, little piece of news out of the Red Sox organization at this hour. According to John Heyman, Mookie Betts has reached a $20 million settlement for next season for his salary to avoid arbitration. So,
okay.
$20 million.
$20 million, 1 year.
Moose Betts.
Yeah, John Heyman wrote Moose Betts. I asked him if there was any relation to Mookie.
Like Moose Knuckle.
He means Mookie. Mookie Betts, $20 million for the Red Sox.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's an entirely new season. This isn't about one player, one unit. This is about the whole team.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, jumping into the team, the American Football Conference champions, the New England Patriots.
It's not 4 out of 7, 3 out of 5, and there's one game.
And Warner goes back to throw, and here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The pass is intercepted.
You can't really emulate at any other point in the season, and really for us, any other point in our life. You know, there's been so many plays that I've seen in my career that, you know, had we not made that one play.
Intercepted at the 30-yard line and taken down, and a fumble on the interception.
Could be just an extra effort. Could be an arm tackle.
And Bruschi ripped it right out of his hands, and the Patriots have the football.
Just one extra push of the pile that ends up being the difference in the entire game and really an entire season.
Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted.
And that's what it's all about. I don't think you can compete, you know, any less than what you're ultimately capable of competing at. But that level that's intense, and it's every play.
Edelman has it. Did he make the catch? He did!
It's just you max out. You can't leave anything, you know, behind. You just got to give everything you got. You know, we're playing to win. I think that's what we're here for. We could overcome some adversity. We've been counted out a few times. And showed back up with a lot of resolve. And we have great character on this team. Our story's still being written. And fortunately, we have an opportunity to write it.
The story's still being written for Tom Brady in his 2018 season. He told us back in August that this team needed a great quarterback. Phil, I don't see a way that the Patriots win without Tom Brady being great. And that goes for them going forward here in the playoffs. Tom Brady needs to be great.
Was he great in the final week
of the season? If he's less than great, I'm not sure they got a chance.
I think he can be less than great and they can win. Because I don't know if Phillip Rivers is going to be great in this game. Again, I think if this game is played in the teens, does that mean either quarterback was great?
You
can play great in moments.
A lot of game tightens up in these moments.
What do you define as great? Because I think when you say Brady needs to play great, people think he's got to complete 70% of his passes and he's got to throw for 300 yards.
No, I got to be 120 rating.
120 rating. Exactly.
You've got to be efficient. Yeah. You've got to take care of the ball. You've got to eliminate the mistakes.
So Tom Brady could be Tom Brady 2001, and you would say that's great? Because that's not defined Tom Brady as great in this era. Tom Brady.
I've just been told all year that Tom Brady's quarterback rating is down. He hasn't been playing well, and then he pulls off 133 against the Jets.
I don't need the stats, though, Phil. I don't need the stats to call him great.
Okay.
I don't need that.
That's fine. I think that's one definition of great. So, Tom Brady can't lose them the game.
For 19 years.
Can you score 20 points and have a quarterback have a great game? I still think that's possible in this league.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah, I do.
Sure.
You can't miss throws this week, Tom. You can't miss an opportunity because you make a bad throw, because it's too high, or it's out of bounds, or it's at a guy's feet. You can't have that this week.
They're going to make
him. You can't blow that.
There are going to be points, though. This defense is good enough where they're going to make him look bad, whether it's because he's under pressure or because he's taking sacks. Or because he's getting hit as he's thrown.
I would hope that you and I.
Those things are going to happen.
The majority of fans will be able to tell if it's great defense and a play is just simply defended.
Okay.
Or if a guy's making mistakes.
We're getting caught up in semantics here. When you ask me just point blank, can he be great? And can they win without him being great?
He's made more mistakes than usual this year. Has he not?
Yeah.
Totally.
Okay. He can't do that.
Clean it up.
I don't think he can continue to do that.
You're going
to get away with it.
But defenses force you into mistakes at times. If he's going to have unforced errors, if it's going to be the end of the first half of Miami.
Well, those are the errors I'm talking about, the ones that are completely within his control, the unforced errors that he's had.
So you're answering your own question. Do you think the Patriots can win that kind of game?
Where he's making unforced errors?
Yes. Does anybody think that?
No.
Okay. No, but I think at times this year they've gotten away with winning games where he's made some of those errors. They don't lose every time he does that, you know. They don't.
They don't. I'm just saying, you're not going to get Tom Brady from week 17. I thought he was good in that game. I know there are people who say, you know, he missed a bad throw to Chris Hogan. That whole series down by the red zone was not great.
Down game.
That series was not great, but
I thought he
was great in that game.
It was a bad series.
Air mailed that one to Hogan. Take that one away. What else would
he also had, he had Gronk open, I believe, the play before that one to Hogan. And I think the play after the play to Hogan was a missed throw as well. So that was a bad series, but I thought he played better. I thought he played much better in that game. I thought he played well in that
game. He was
game.
Moving better than he was the week yeah. before, too. And yep. I think the leg is
I thought that
part of the
he
issue.
Had an 18-yard throw to Edelman with Shaq Mason basically on his hip
plus the
that he wasn't able to step into. Set. That I thought might have been one of his best throws of the season, yep. to be honest with you. So if they get that guy,
we're
in great yep. shape. I just don't think you're going to see big numbers from your quarterback.
That's okay.
Because I think this is a defense that's, well, points. How about points? You care about points?
Yeah. Take,
you're not going to get big points
stats,
from your quarterback.
Take your stats, you stat geeks, and shove it.
Yeah. Take your 133.
You guys want to see like a good throwaway. You want to see like a smart throwaway? Yeah, he'll give you those.
Denny is in Haverhill. Denny.
How you doing, guys?
Hi. What's up, Denny?
All week I've been going back and forth in this game, and I think very fast we're going to have a view of the offensive line and Brady, how they're going to be. But I think Gronk is going to have a huge day. He looks zoned in like I have never seen him zoned in. And Gronk and Edelman, if they make a couple catches early, I think that will change things for the Chargers.
I'll go to your latter point there. I try and get the big guy going early. I just think you go to him early in games, I think he gets engaged, and, oh, wow, you start sniffing of what it's been in the past here. And that's hope.
I would just say the one thing with Gronkowski is that he has been when he has been an option, he's been primarily a down-the-field option for you. This is not a team you want to throw down the field against all that much because you don't want the five-step, seven-step drops and just let Bosa and Ingram get to that point in the backfield, right? I think it's a lot of shorter drops. It's get the ball out quick. You can still do that to Gronk, but is he a threat on a little tight end screen the way he was last year or a couple years ago? I don't think so. So I would hit on the point that Denny made about Edelman more so. If you're going to move the ball through the air, the backs are going to have to be a part of the equation. Edelman's going to have to be a part of the equation. That is one of the best matchups in this entire game is Edelman against Desmond King. I love Desmond King. Desmond King's a young player out of Iowa, slot corner, has made All-Pro as a punt returner and as a defensive back this year. Kid is a stud. He is an absolute pest. He's undersized. He got drafted in the fifth round. I loved him coming out of school. He made my prototypical Patriot article that I do every year building up to the draft. I thought he would be perfect.
See you tooting your own horn?
He would be, yes, because he would be perfect for New England, though. Because you imagine what you would be doing right now if you had that kid for a fifth-round pick instead of spending a second-rounder on Cyrus Jones, who was a punt returner that didn't work, or a second-rounder on Duke Dawson, who we still haven't seen at your slot corner. You'd have one guy filling both of those roles that you got in the fifth round, who is a pest. He's a pain in the ass. I think he led college football among defensive backs in personal foul penalties his last year in college. Physical, small guy, but physical, plays the ball. Sticky in coverage, returns kicks, returns punts. This is going to be one of the best matchups in terms of talent on both sides of the entire game is Julian Edelman against Desmond King in the slot.
Shy is in Peabody. Shy.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey.
What's going on? You guys just haven't touched on how they almost blew that game this past Sunday, man. Like, yeah. Lamar Jackson didn't convert on third down until I think it was late in the third or early in the fourth.
Yeah, when Jim Nance made the joke.
and I just feel like, they on paper they are maybe a better team. I just don't think that, I'm not overthinking that Patriots is going to blow these guys out of the water, but I think it's a real good chance, man, that it's going to be a close game until the fourth quarter, and I think we're going to pull away. I really do. I just don't think they're going to be able to close out, man. I really don't.
I've heard this a few times this week about that game last week. Oh, they almost blew it. Well, they didn't blow it, number one. Still won by a couple touchdowns. And not only that, they thoroughly outplayed the Ravens for pretty much the entire game.
80% of that game?
Yeah, let's say 57 minutes before they lost their minds and tightened up in the last 3 minutes, which is a factor. On that, if you want to look at that and say, yeah, if it's a tight game late, who's going to blink first? Well, it could be the Chargers. Could be. But if you watch that game, The Chargers outplayed the Ravens all day. The Ravens defense is really good. I feared that defense if the Patriots were going to have to play them, but that wasn't a close game.
It wasn't a close game, but I think you can look at their offense and see flaws, and I think that's something Shai pointed to there. One thing that the Ravens did that game that I found very interesting, because typically against veteran, smart veteran quarterbacks, you don't want to blitz them. We talked about this with Brady all year. You don't want to. You typically don't want to blitz that guy because he's going to see where it's coming from and he's going to hammer you. The Ravens blitzed Rivers 17 times. And when he was pressured, he had a quarterback rating in the 70s. When he's not, and over the course of the season, when he's pressured, his quarterback rating's in the low 80s, which is actually really good for under pressure. But it's much worse than what it was when he wasn't pressured, which was 115, I want to say. So do you come after, do you send the house at Phillip Rivers? And I think you should. Patriots have been really effective blitzing quarterbacks, especially as we've gotten later in the year. They've gotten more creative. I think it's hard for offensive lines to diagnose what's happening. The Chargers running backs are terrible in pass protection. And if you can force those guys to block on a linebacker, that's going to be a matchup you win. So I would say blitz. Phillip Rivers and feel good about your coverage. This gets back to the first thing we talked about, but feel good about your coverage on the back end.
There's an advantage that Rivers has over Brady that I don't think many people have talked about. I played with Marino last year, and you always see Danny bitch and bitch people out on the sideline or bitch at the refs, and you don't realize it until you go on his sideline and he lets it carry over series to series. I think Rivers could get hit with a bad call and start throwing the helmet, bitching or bitching out somebody, and he just carries it to the next series where Brady turns a page. He'll bitch right away, but then he goes right to Josh, and then they're fine. So,
all right, Phil, we'll see you tonight. Football Fix, hey, 6 Phil. p.m.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right.
Early edition. Enjoy after it. That. All that good stuff.
Double banger, huh? Nice.
Early edition plus BST. You don't want to stick around through 11 p.m. tonight.
Phil's working deep into the night on NBC Sports Boston.
That's why you lift all them weights,
starting
Beetle.
With the Football Fix at 6 o'clock. Thanks, Phil.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub. It's time to rage.
Did you see Phil running away from the... excuse me.
Oh, Jesus!
And react.
You don't think you could have beat off that shark?
With Zolak and Bertrand.
Sanitarium.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Read, react, let's do the damn thing.
I love that.
All right, read, react, boy. There we go.
You said it's a big one today.
They're not bad fans. They're bad people.
We got another stutter.
They're bad people.
Jesus, Ted.
Who was that?
Ted.
We start with a couple of intro.
It's Ted Scott. Johnson.
It sounds like Ted Johnson, but it's not.
Give it again.
No, it wasn't Ted Johnson.
Hold on. Give it again.
Play one.
Oh.
Can we play it again?
Play it again.
They're not bad fans. They're bad people.
It's not Ted Johnson. React.
No, Bart Scott.
It's
Bart
Scott. It sounded like
Sorry,
Ted Johnson.
Ted.
Sorry, Teddy.
Sorry, Teddy.
Okay.
Kick my ass.
Sorry about that.
Two introductory coaching press conferences that took place this week. We'll start with Matt LaFleur, who was introduced.
Oh, boy.
Introduced to the Green Bay media.
Yeah, he's about 12.
I wouldn't be the man who I am today.
Why are they always sound like they're accepting
because they've hit
an
their
award?
Because they've hit their pinnacle. This is their crescendo. This is the peak of their career.
He certainly hasn't hit puberty yet. That's for sure.
I just hope that 6'6" defensive lineman that weighs 345 pounds doesn't shove me in a locker and take my lunch money.
If it weren't for the love and support of my family,
Jesus
who are here today, I'm going to get emotional.
Oh, stop it!
You clown. You know what? I feel bad for the good people of Green Bay. And I've told you about this.
Thank you, Jim.
This I've told you about this.
Great graphic.
What a tool bag. Jim Stouch. There is nothing better in professional sports than going to some of these venues that are sacred, like Lambeau Field. We went out there to practice when I was playing for a week at Green Bay to stay out there and to watch how the fans, they get to take their bikes and the players ride their bikes back and forth to camp. And then there's their Hall of Fame there and the Lombardi stuff. And then you get a 12-year-old coach getting ready to cry to thank you. Who hasn't even
hasn't,
done anything
okay,
yet.
Listen,
hasn't even coached
yet. He hasn't cried yet. Maybe he's going to say something good. Let's give him a chance.
Go doubt it.
Let's give him a chance.
This is so sad.
My wife, she's the real rock star of the family. There's no doubt about it. My two kids here, Luke and Ty, I love them dearly. My parents.
All right, stop there.
Wait, no. How many names do we get? Luke, Ty, go on.
Wife and parents.
What do you watch Star Wars?
Okay. Denny and Christy.
TIE Fighter.
My in-laws. Jane and Warner. I'm all about family. Jane? I love them.
Who's Jane and Warner? I'm all about family. I love them.
So now to my in-laws, Fred and Sandy, Freddie and Danny.
You see why I make fun of these tool bag hires and why I roll at Burt Breer and it's, oh, they're a brilliant mind or innovators. These guys don't know what the hell they're in for. They have no clue.
I'm all about family. I can't even see a Sears Portrait studio without breaking into tears. It's just family. I love them.
Love them dearly, and they are why and I'm the person that I am today. My brother, who could not be here, he decided it was...
Why would he have to be
here? He decided it was inappropriate for a grown man to go to another grown man's press conference when it's your brother. He's got nothing to do with it.
I swear to God.
Her husband, Jim Stouch.
Jim Stouch.
Oh, my God. All right, hold on. He's not done.
No, he it should be done.
He's not done.
Best interest to be in Hawaii to watch this press conference, so... but... So yeah, funny. I'm all about family. If that's one thing you're going to learn about
me. Oh, you know what? Because
I love my family.
Nor is Beetle, nor is Hardy, nor is Jim or Tom or the kid with the weird hair.
Yeah.
None of us are about family.
I wanted to
let
everybody know.
It's amazing. Everybody just functions, moves around. Nobody's ever about family.
I'm about family. In case you had me confused with someone.
Tell me why you're a good football coach.
About family. Do you hurt your dog?
You should be a good family man. That should already be in you.
I'm not about family. And I don't like my kids, my dog, my wife, my in-laws. I don't like any of them.
Question, Matt. In this particular moment, do you also love football and coaching football?
What do you think Aaron Rodgers is thinking as you're here?
Aaron Rodgers is thinking, I am going to eat this guy.
He hates his family.
Oh, no.
He hates his family.
No, that's what he's thinking.
That's an idiot. That's a guy who is not a family guy.
I've disowned my family. I'm dating a race car driver. I am going to eat this guy alive. You thought I ate McCarthy alive? Give me a week with this tool bag.
We finally found someone who is not about family.
That's right.
That's Aaron Rodgers. Wow.
Breathe. It's going to be hard to do.
React. These two are going to be like oil and water.
All right, the other one is the Bucks.
Would you rather have that or would you rather have Belichick sniffing and grunting?
Belichick sniffing and grunting.
Give me that 800 times.
Not even close.
Tool bag hires.
GM there in Tampa Bay, Jason Light, he introduced Bruce Arians to the Tampa Bay
media. You know why this is great?
Beginning.
I don't know.
Because today is National Milk Day, and he is lactose intolerant. This is a paint drinker, so go ahead.
Oh, that's right.
And at the beginning, we put a checklist together of the things that we were looking for in the head coach. I have the checklist right here.
Wait a minute. You're the GM. Why are you? This is like props. Nomar.
Can you give my notes out of my locker?
He's like the carrot top of GMs. He's using props.
Back in front. MRI.
We wanted somebody that would command the room.
Command
Bruce
the room.
Checks that. Okay. Those of you that know him, you know what I'm talking about. For those that don't, get your earmuffs ready. We wanted somebody with a proven track record. Bruce checks that. Okay. We wanted somebody that was going to bring swagger. Bruce checks that. Okay. Last but not least, just that it factor that you really can't explain. But once again, anybody that's around Bruce knows that Bruce has it. So with all that said, with no further ado, I want to introduce Bruce Arians, the coolest damn coach in the NFL.
You know what? We have fun with Arians.
That's a little hard to follow, but...
Not really.
Really?
I give credit there, though.
Command a room, swagger.
He's right, though. He commands a room when he
it
walks
factor.
In.
Proven track record.
Know that guy.
It factor. What's I got up, them all man? Written down on the
check. That's cool. That's cool.
Check them all down.
That's
there.
Cool.
They had a whole team of professionals.
Oh, hold on.
Of team executives.
Yeah. Coolest.
I'll never forget that day. Me and my brother, we was in that kitchen, and me being lactose intolerant, my brother would sit there and he drank all that cold milk. I can't drink
five
the milk.
Items.
So I took that white paint and I drank that white paint.
Command
white
the room,
paint.
Proven track record, yep. Swagger, it
cool.
Factor,
cool.
Coolest damn coach.
Cool.
Checks all the boxes.
Got your guy.
Breathe.
Chiefs hosting the Colts Saturday afternoon. The Arrowhead Guys website, which is a
Pardon
Chiefs
me?
Fan site.
Okay.
It's called the Arrowhead Guys.
All right.
They got access to Arrowhead Stadium this week. They brought along a medium, like a psychic, to explore the negative energy at the stadium during the recent playoff failures.
Huh.
Yeah, this happened. Here's the audio.
As I looked across the stadium, I saw what I thought was maybe a monitor that was turned on, And beside that monitor, I saw a man. He had either a brown jacket or a brown suit on, and I got a pretty good look. I just knew I needed to try to figure out who he was.
Thanks, Sharon.
And as we walked along that hallway that had those pictures, the first picture I looked at, it was him. It was him. I don't know anything about, especially past coaches, but you seem to know who that was.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I absolutely know who it was. So the person that she pointed out in the picture was indeed Hank Stram. And one of the reactions I had, you know, whenever I found this Hank Stram was, you know, he won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs. He had a good career with the Chiefs. Why would he be there still? And it's really interesting you say that he has unfinished business, because a major piece of Chiefs history is that Hank Stram was let go in kind of questionable circumstances.
Oh, shut up.
So his unfinished business is making the team lose?
Yeah.
Every
ghost.
Time they play at home?
The ghost of Hank Stram.
And Hank Stram is still there?
Yes.
Love it! Go Colts!
Is he? You know what he's good too? He's to roll his paper up like this in his hand. I'll hold it here. Hey, Billy. He's running up that kickoff there. Good old-timer voice, Eric. Yeah. You could do a good Hank Stram.
Hank Stram is haunting the Chiefs.
Give me the two-bag offense now. Come on, get it.
We're going to run in. We're going to run out. We're going to go. We're not going to stop to get that goal line.
How did I know it was going to be Hank Stram? That's awesome.
You're the working-class hero, and we know Zoe's kind of a diva.
That's pathetic.
Saints host the Eagles on Sunday. Sean Payton motivated his team by rolling out $200,000 in cash.
This is great.
So the players could look at the stacks and stacks of cash to see what their winning share would be if they got the Super Bowl title. Here's Sheldon Rankins afterward. What'd you think of that?
If you saw all that money in front of you, you'd get excited too. That's anybody gonna get excited about that. And I'm right along with him. If we get it done, I need it in 20s, all in a duffel bag, delivered to my front door. That's what I need. But yeah, I mean, listen.
Smart.
Sean does a great job of getting us ready.
Yes, wise.
Drew Brees. Small, like, unmarked bills, if you don't mind.
Drew Brees is like, who dropped this on the floor? Who's changed this?
This is actual money that you've earned. You don't need to hide it under a mattress. You can deposit, you could do an IRA.
When you get there.
You get college funds.
See, I read a quote from another player who said, I'm going to need you to do it just like you did it there.
Yeah.
Come to my house with the stack of cash and the ring and the trophy, all in one package.
Where you're going to do that is when you do get there eventually, if you make it, is you sell your tickets.
And then you get it in cash.
Illegally. Not legal, but yeah, legal.
Legal
self tickets, purchase self. You buy it, I give it to you. Yeah.
Finally, the Eagles posted a video of Doug Peterson's season-long motivational tactic.
Well, watch this video, and then I'll treat you to some ice cream. All right, let's check out this video, and then, again, treat you to some ice cream, man. We'll play this video, and then I'll treat you to some ice cream. We got a little ice cream coming up before it all melts. I know we got some ice cream that's melting, so we got to get out of here. Wish you guys the best of luck. Treat you to some vanilla ice cream here in a second. I know it's a little warm in here. We'll get you out after this. Got some ice cream next door. Here we go.
Ice cream. Because of their GM. Vanilla.
I like vanilla and chocolate.
How old is Doug Peterson?
He's my age. We play together. Like,
you would think he's a lot older.
Right, because that.
Who looks older? Me or him?
I just read about this, Beetle. You'd be interested in this. The ice cream boom in this country happened during Prohibition. They had all of these stores, bars, whatever, containers to keep things cool, but they weren't serving beer anymore. Like, what are we going to do with this stuff? Let's start marketing ice cream. Let's appeal to some vice that people have. And, you know, it's like if you don't get enough sleep, you crave sugar. Heroin addicts, when they get off this stuff, they crave sugar. It's like it is something that you can use to make up for something else. In this case, alcohol. That's when America started going nuts for ice cream.
I hate ice
cream. I like vanilla and chocolate.
Had this guy been alive during Prohibition,
also
I would get the obsession with ice cream, but he's not that old.
I don't get I don't see 53 guys running through a wall or a door like, oh my God, I got to get me some of that ice cream.
What kind of ice cream?
Doesn't matter.
Well, you said vanilla in that last one.
Vanilla.
Got some vanilla ice cream.
Put some Popeyes on that table.
I like vanilla and chocolate.
I like chocolate, though, we used to
do it every Friday.
Have any
Popeyes.
Chocolate there?
Popeyes.
Best ice cream I ever had was a Ben & Jerry's limited batch. It was when Anchorman 2 came out, and they called it Scotchy Scotch Scotch. It was butterscotch ice cream with swirls of, like, hardened butterscotch in the middle of it.
Friendly's just released some new flavor. It's called, like, Pothole Filler. or something.
Oh, for this time of year, I guess.
Yeah.
Potholes.
They just, Ben and Jerry's great, but the go-to is Brigham's.
Pothole ice cream.
Brigham's ice cream.
Well, but what flavor? What kind?
I go with cinnamon.
I can go with a bunch of different. I enjoy the Oreo in the ice cream.
You ever get a nice warm piece of apple pie with some scoop of cinnamon ice cream on top? Oh,
cookies and cream. Mm.
I had it after my first concussion in high school. Mom and Dad took me there after the game, and I remember...
What did you have after your second, third, fourth, and fifth?
I only had two. One was in high school. The other one was at West Virginia.
Documented.
In the game. Yeah. Documented.
Documented.
Three.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
React.
Yo soy fiesta.
Glad they have fun in Philadelphia. I bet Lane Johnson loves the ice cream. Bet he does.
Peterson. I found myself rooting for them last week, and I don't know why.
Oh, God, don't. Don't fall for it.
I don't, because then you remind me what an a-hole that guy is.
Not rooting for him this week.
I'm not. Yep.
Enough. They've had too much fun.
Enough fun for now.
No. You want them to be knocked out before the playoffs even happen. Say, oh, was that fun? But now they are. Now they're legitimately having fun. It's not good.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Pipe it up. 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 I walk in the club just to pipe it up. I stand on the stage and I pipe it up. Get a regular hotel, I pipe it up. Buy a bando and I pipe it up.
RJ Bell coming up in about 3 minutes. Tom Brady will follow him. Let's get Zoe in the mood.
This was part of the practice playlist today.
Oh. What's the name of the song?
Let me give you one guess.
Migos.
I just heard about a certain type of bar in there. You guys got that lyric?
I did too.
This hour of Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your tailgate or football party a huge success this Sunday. Get the details at stopandshop.com.
So according to Mike Reese in the stadium, third time this week, at least some parts of practice have been here. Good for returners, among other things. Everyone spotted at the media access, and the set list included the song we just heard, Pipe It Up, and Startender from A Boogie Wit Da Hoodie with Offset and Tyga.
A boogie with the hoodie.
With Offset. And Tyga. It's like Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam with Full Force.
Oh, Tiger.
Tyga. T-Y-G-A. Tyga.
Tyga.
That's just called Tiger.
Because it's not. It's Tyga.
Ask Roy Barbosa.
I bet they do a lot of mixing and rhyming Tyga. With words.
So the artist's name is A Boogie With Da Hoodie?
Boogie no, Star hoodie. Dander. Stargazer.
I wouldn't say it quite like you said it there.
Well, I'm just pronouncing it the way it's
written.
Well, it's
yeah, read
here.
What's written.
Yeah.
Yeah, prompt to read a
Boogie With Da Hoodie.
How would McCone read it? McCone would read it.
Why do you have
as
to say Wit Da like there's something wrong with you?
With Da.
How would something. You say it? Say it.
Boogie With Da Hoodie.
See, that... I think my way sounds more authentic. I sound more street when I say it.
I don't think you do. Yeah. I don't think any of us sound street.
A Boogie With Da Hoodie.
Okay.
Do it like Mickey right. Blue Eyes. Like, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Mike and Everett. Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Just want to get your opinion about this Hunter Henry coming back with his injury, how effective he's going to be. Gronk's injury, and just for Zoe, obviously you played, the travel back and forth to San Diego, coming back east to west east, whatever. And a shout-out to Mike Palladino, still 51-23.
Okay, that's where we're going to end that.
Who?
Shout-out to Mike.
Mike.
Yep.
Mikey Pals. The travel, it does matter, I'm telling you. Eventually,
how does that show up in the game?
Okay, it's a good question. So
where do we see it?
Get through what? Say your first four series or so, five series. You're making all your adjustments. You have halftime. You come out for the third. Maybe a little flat coming out on offense or somebody misses a block. Because you know what? All of a sudden, that stinger that I got in that Baltimore game kind of came back up. It crept. And I thought I was going to loosen it up, and it stiffened up at halftime. Maybe I reach and I get a holding call. And all of a sudden you're not playing the same that maybe you were earlier in the game. And I think that's where it could benefit New England, meaning where everybody's got a gas tank, and at some point that tank runs out. I mean, they're riding high. They're a good road team. They're road-tested, battle-tested, but it's nothing like Gronkowski. This guy's 6'7". He looks great and everything, but is he the same guy? Think he could press that button and go and be that guy last year? I don't think so. Maybe he can. I don't know. But at some point, you wear down. And I think the monkey could jump on your back somewhere middle of that third quarter. Could happen before halftime. And the next thing you know, game's over.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.